The whole point of our bill is to get premiums down. We've been hit with double-digit premium increases in Obamacare. It's one of the reasons why people are paying the penalty, not even buying the insurance. It's one of the reasons why the system's in a collapse right now. Right. So the key is to give people more choices, have more competition, bring premiums down.
Now, we can all agree on that with Paul Ryan. Problem is you have this pesky CBO report. I knew it was going to be mostly bad news for the Republicans, or at least be sold as bad news. And they say the premiums will keep going up until 2020. At that point, they will start coming down. There's some critics that say that really that doesn't really add up. But we continue with my new friend, Senator Jim Risch from Idaho, and he is with us in studio. Before we get to what's up with the Senate Intel Committee, and potentially we'll be hearing from other witnesses soon, what's your sense? Are the five senators who are on the fence on this health care bill, they're going to be brought along, some type of compromise made to satisfy the liberals, the conservatives,
well,
Idahoans?
They've got more work to do. There's no question about that. This is one of those things that if you're looking for perfection, first of all, you're not going to find it in Congress by any stretch of the imagination. You're not going to find it on this earth.
The question is whether you do nothing.
That's
or
right.
Whether,
yeah.
Do nothing and let this thing collapse, then come in as the white knights, or do you put forth a bill that might actually not please the public and give the Democrats a big wedge for 2018, 2020?
Well, the first thing is you want to pass something. And the objective is to pass something that at least does partial rollback of Obamacare. So what can you pass that meets that? If they put something in front of you,
that's not what you guys all campaigned on. You didn't say vote for us and we'll do partial rollback. You said repeal and replace.
Did
Trump.
You've got to be a little careful on that when you're listening to people campaigning. There isn't anybody who said that I will vote to repeal and replace that didn't really mean that. Now the people who are not there really never went that far in their campaigns. We're all individuals. We don't campaign as a party and say, okay, this is what we're going to say, mm-hmm. and this is how we're going to actually do it. But look, the fact of the matter is we should make every possible effort we can to undo Obamacare. If you can't get rid of Obamacare completely because you can't bring everybody along, what part of it can you get to go along with it? Because, look, if they put something in front of you that, let's say it takes away half of Obamacare, let's say it takes away a fourth of Obamacare, let's say it takes away 10% of Obamacare, do you vote no because it doesn't take away all of Obamacare? Well, a no vote then is a vote to maintain Obamacare the way it is. And that's not a pleasant thing.
Why would you grade the Republicans' communication strategy on the Obamacare issue? We got a lot of Republican governors speaking out now against the Senate bill. You got John Kasich, who might as well be working for Chuck Schumer on this. He's basically mouthing everything that Chuck Schumer says. You have other Republican governors just hammering you all in the Senate.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with America today is that the governors, lots of them, not all of them, but lots of the governors, all he wants more money from the federal government. And
so the Medicaid dollars will be slashed eventually.
Sure. And Medicaid is not the business of the federal government. It's a business of the states. But once the federal government waded into it, as always, it turned into mm-hmm. an absolute mess. So now you've got the far left governors, which, of course, they love that. But even you've got governors that are Republican governors that believe that supposedly believe that the sovereign's a state, not the federal government, yet they come begging with a tin cup.
How did you go from being governor, which is such a cool job? I mean, then you like decide, I'm going to leave beautiful Idaho and I'm going to come to Washington, D.C. and be one of 100 senators. Like, I think being CEO of the state, governor, is the best job. Such a cool job, especially in your state.
As I've told you, I've done this all my life. I've run 33 times. I've been everything from a county elected
career
prosecutor.
Politician.
I am.
Career.
Except it was part-time when I started.
70s.
And,
go back
now.
To 74 for the senator.
My first election was 70, actually.
Oh, my God.
I was elected prosecuting attorney in Ada County.
Okay.
But in any event, The jobs are very different. I mean, one's an executive job, one's a legislative job, and I've done that's not the only chief executive position I've had. As being governor, I've had companies and been CEO, it's a different line of work, and you have to accept it. The governor mm-hmm. always wins. If you got a problem, you get the troops around the table, and
it's fun.
And you say, what's a problem? What are the options? What are the ups and downs? All right, I choose door number three. Go out and make it happen.
Yeah.
When you're here, they put a loaf of bread on the table, and everybody's fighting over it. If you walk away with a couple of slices, you should be happy. But in any event, let me tell you the difference of the thing that. That is good about mm-hmm. being the United States Senator. You get to choose what you want to do. When you're a governor, you get up in the morning, they hand you a plate, and they say, eat this. And you mm-hmm. say, well, I didn't order this. So it doesn't matter. That's today's menu. You're going to eat this. Here, you get what you want to do. When I got here, I said, I spent almost 30 years in our state Senate and then time as lieutenant governor and governor. I said, I don't want anything to do with money. I don't want appropriations. I don't want budgeting.
Yeah.
I don't want finance. So I'm on foreign relations. I'm on intelligence.
That's fun. Okay, so you've gotten a real – you've really seen it at all levels.
I have that.
Local, state.
Yep.
And
still as conservative as when I started.
You know, my dad was a forestry major at the University of Connecticut. You were a forestry
I was,
major, right?
Before law school.
So the trees, the forest for the trees. There's lots of metaphors we could use right? Cutting down the timber, right?
Yeah.
The beetles infesting the...
We call it clear
you
cutting,
pine,
you know.
You have the pine beetle problem in Idaho.
Everybody does.
That thing, that
awful.
Is a nightmare. When I was in Colorado last summer, those pine beetles destroyed... thousands and thousands of acres where I was.
Tens of thousands of acres.
Horrific. All right, let's talk about the testimony of Jim Comey and where we are with what the Senate Intelligence Committee is doing. We're going to just refresh our listeners' memories. This is what happened just a few weeks ago when James Comey gave his big testimony. Let's listen.
Do you know of any case where a person has been charged for obstruction of justice or, for that matter, any other criminal offense where they said or thought they hoped for an outcome?
I don't know well enough to answer. I took it as, this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
You may have taken it as a direction, but that's not what he said.
Correct. He said,
I hope.
Those are exact words,
okay.
Correct.
You don't know of anyone that's ever been charged for hoping something. Is that a fair statement?
I don't, as I sit here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As I sit here, he doesn't. But as he stood there, he could perhaps recall one.
I don't think so.
when I watched you, Senator, I thought to myself, this is why it's really helpful to have former prosecuting attorneys and criminal defense attorneys, frankly, asking these questions of people like Jim Comey. I find it sometimes frustrating that senators who don't have any background in the law attempt to ask questions of someone as smart as Jim Comey. But
another lawyer
who's been around for decades, but you've been around for decades too. So you had the give and take there, saying, wait, the president hoped you wrap this investigation up. Now hoping something is obstruction of justice. And you got him to admit basically there that there's no case on that.
Well, I think that obstruction of justice stuff's off the table. We're after the truth in this. The Intelligence Committee committed that we were going to follow the facts wherever they took us, and we've done that. And this, as we were talking off air about how this started on February 14th with an article that's been proven absolutely false.
The New York Times piece about the
supposed
collusion between Russian intel agents and Trump campaign officials.
And in that same testimony, I asked Comey, I reminded him that he had seen that article February 14th. He checked with all 17 of the intelligence agencies, found zero evidence of that at all, took time to contact us and tell us that there was no such evidence. And then, of course, we took on the investigation. We looked at thousands and thousands of pages, interviewed people, done all these things. And, it's the Intelligence Committee. We're not supposed to talk about what goes on in there, and I'm not going to. But I am going to quote Dianne Feinstein, who says, I have seen no evidence of collusion. Well, it's just not there. And the New York Times, the day after that, after the Comey testimony, said, we stand by our story. And then the national media wonders why they got a credibility problem at times. I mean, where's the evidence? If that's the case, Donald Trump's campaign and whoever did that should be answerable for that. Where's the proof? Well, you know, New York Times says they have it. Put it on the table.
Alan Dershowitz was on our show yesterday, and he bemoaned, as a liberal Democrat who voted for Hillary Clinton, he bemoaned the criminalization of American politics, where you have opponents of a particular individual, in this case Trump, very upset that he won, who have decided that you can't beat him at the ballot box, so you're going to get him as close to indicted as you can, if you could indict a sitting president, which I don't believe you can. But they will stay on this issue regardless of the fact that the underlying allegation, which started this entire investigation, has proven to be zippo, nothing there.
Yeah, and Laura, you know, I'm on foreign relations and intel, so I deal with foreign governments mm-hmm. all the time. This is not uncommon in third world countries, or for that matter, in other places. All around the world, there's people in jail who were presidents or foreign ministers or what have you.
Venezuela, because Russia, China.
A new administration
Iran.
Came in, and they throw them in jail. You're right. I mean, it is a real deterioration in what we've prided ourselves in, and that is we have an election. When the election's over, we try to pull together, move on, but not continue this.
Do you believe that for Bob Mueller, who has not testified before your committee, but Bob Mueller is an old friend of Jim Comey's, known each other for decades, called themselves brother in arms, has now hired several committed Democrats who have donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign, including one who was actually Hillary Clinton's attorney in the email investigation. Does that give you any pause?
Of course.
Your reaction to that?
It's troubling. You know, I guess you got to wait and see when the thing's over. But look, if they do something, it's tainted. It's tainted by all that. I mean, I'd have very difficult time accepting it, particularly from what I know from the Intelligence Committee versus what they're doing. I'd have real trouble with it if they try to do something with this.
I mean, if the shoe were on the other foot and it was all
they'd be
Donald
screaming
Trump
bloody murder.
Donors and a former Trump attorney representing an investigation into Hillary Clinton.
They'd be screaming bloody murder.
I mean, the idea that Bob Mueller is sort of beyond reproach, you can never question. I was joking last week, Senator, that there's only one guy I know who turned water into wine and who walked on water, and, you know, he hasn't come back yet. It's not Bob Mueller.
I have to tell you, I've been around lots of investigations. I was on the panel on the Intelligence Committee when we did the torture one, when we mm-hmm. did Benghazi as a prosecutor, and all the way through. I've been through lots and lots of investigations. I have to tell you, I was surprised what Mueller did of hiring those people, because it's going to taint it. I mean, there's no way around that. It's going to taint it. There's thousands of lawyers in this town, tens of thousands of lawyers in this town that are former prosecutors and what have you. Why would you go get people who were activists against the person that you're now investigating?
I have a theory, I have a theory. Senator, before we let you go, any progress on the leaks in looking into how these leaks are coming out of this investigation, which clearly they're coming out of the actual Mueller investigation and, you know, others who you alluded to in that New York Times.
That ties into what we were just talking about. It's people who are not neutral, but they're on the other side. They're the people that are doing the leaks. Trying to find them is very, very difficult. We've been chasing leaks for a long, long time. And very rarely, they got that one woman in Georgia they just got who stole those classified material. But
she was a real winner. What was her name? Winner?
Yeah.
Celebrity? Reality winner, her
when
name
I,
was.
When I saw that,
this
I thought,
is like a
I thought it
Harlequin
was,
romance name.
I thought it was a phony. I thought the story was a phony. You know, I really did.
Comey, should he have given that memo that he typed up to the friend?
Well, that's not the way you do that. I mean, if he wanted an investigation, you stand up and call for an investigation. You know, look in the camera and say, look, this deserves an investigation. But to do it, it was too slippery as far as I was concerned.
Senator, it is great to see you. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
It's a great privilege. And someone who's been in politics his whole life, who start off as a forestry major, is someone I'm I got to get to know better.
I am still one of the most optimistic people you'll ever meet about America in the long term.
Right.
Short term, not so much.
Yeah, we got some challenges. But it's great to see you. Come back anytime, and thanks for making the trip over.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.